Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 46 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Brian Courtney.
Sometime within that, he crossed over into the left lane of the eastbound traffic.
A man is still in critical condition after a car crash in Moorhead on Friday.
Around County lawmakers opposed to a special session in Frankfort this month.
Eric Kahn will be back in the Commonwealth this evening.
A man has been arrested for attempted murder in Ashland.
Boyd County's Board of Education has hired a security guard.
In sports, Round County's boys basketball team travels to West Carter tonight.
Bud Luke will bring us the stock report.
40% chance of rain overnight with a low around 30 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A 58-year-old man is still listed in critical condition at a Lexington hospital after being injured in a vehicle accident in Moorhead. City Police Captain Kyle Callahan reports William Vest's northbound car went across the center section of Route 32 and struck a southbound truck driven by 20-year-old Justin Johnson shortly before 11:30 last Friday.
They were close to making head-on collision, and you know, of course, Mr. Vest, his vehicle stopped where the impact was, but Mr. Johnson, I think, did a 360 and went off the road into the grassy area. Both of them were transported to St. Clair. Mr. Vest was stabilized, and then he was flown to UK.
While Vest remains at the University of Kentucky Medical Center, Johnson was treated and released from St. Clair Regional Healthcare. The accident left traffic on the 32 connector backed up 4 hours. Both men are from Moorhead.
Fugitive Kentucky lawyer Eric C. Kahn should arrive back in Kentucky between now and 5:30. The announcement was made this afternoon in Lexington. Kahn was captured Saturday in Honduras. The El Dorado reports Kahn was apprehended in the city of La Ceiba. The former Floyd County disability lawyer disappeared from home detention in June, ditched his ankle monitor, and was later spotted in New Mexico. Attorney Ned Pillersdorf tells WKYT victims of Kahn's $550 million Social Security scheme should be relieved.
Now that he's been captured, it does, in an unusual way, help our ability to try to collect the $31 million judgment his former clients have against Mr. Kahn. So today's sort of an early Christmas present for the folks in Floyd County who've been embarrassed and humiliated by our local embarrassment.
Kahn was scheduled to be sentenced in July. He is expected to be returned to the United States today.
A man is behind bars in Ashland on suspicion of rape, burglary, and public intoxication. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, 44-year-old Darcy Fannin is charged with second-degree rape of a mentally incapacitated person, third-degree burglary, and public intoxication. Fannin is accused of drugging and raping an unnamed female victim. He denies these allegations, saying the sex was consensual and the woman became angry after he ran out of drugs. Fannin is lodged in the Boyd County Detention Center.
A man has been arrested after he shot another man in the head early Tuesday morning. According to WSAZ, 35-year-old Michael Kelly was arrested today for attempted murder. Police say the shooting happened at the Winchester Inn in Ashland. Authorities say the bullet skimmed the man's skull, leaving just a superficial wound. He's been released from the hospital Tuesday. Kelly was arrested at the Country Hearth Inn across the Ohio River in South Point about 1 o'clock. Police say Kelly is at an Ashland hospital on suspicion of heroin overdose. Once he is released, he will be taken to the Lawrence County Jail.
Two have been arrested in a Lawrence County, Ohio murder investigation. The Ashland Daily Independent reports Brandy Miller and Russell Adkins were taken into custody for the murder of 54-year-old Larry Stevenson. Officials say the arrests follow a weekend investigation. Adkins told police Miller called him early Saturday morning during an argument with Stevenson. Adkins arrived at the home in Chesapeake and apparently began assaulting Stevenson. Adkins then apparently put Stevenson in his pickup truck, tied him up, and dragged him into an abandoned house. Stevenson's body was discovered there hours later. Adkins is facing murder and assault charges. Miller is charged with tampering with evidence and making a false report to an officer.
One person is dead after a fatal fire in Flatwoods. The Daily Independent reports officials are working to identify a body found Saturday morning at a residence on 4th Street. Greenup County Coroner Neil Wright believes the body is that of Lisa Marie Willis McFan. All witnesses at the scene say the victim is McFan. The body has been sent to Frankfort for identification, and the cause of the fire remains under investigation by Kentucky State Police.
A 14-year-old is in the Boyd County Detention Center after firing shots at people while possibly under the influence of drugs. WIMT reports Lawrence County law enforcement responded to the scene Sunday in the Pigeon Roost community. A juvenile had apparently gotten a firearm and fired several shots at people. When deputies arrived, the youth was apprehended without any trouble. No one was injured during the incident. The Lawrence County Sheriff's Department is investigating.
During elections in the past few years, more than 1,300 state workers took paid voting leave when they shouldn't have. That's according to Kentucky Auditor Mike Harmon. According to Spectrum News' Pure Politics, Harmon released a report today that finds the state lost more than $102,000 in wages during 2015 and 2016 when certain state employees took half the day off to vote. The audit finds that over 1,000 of the workers did not vote in the 2015 general election or the 2016 primary election. Harmon identifies others who should have been ineligible because they weren't registered to vote, took leave time on days when no elections occurred, or claimed the time while they were on extended leaves already. Harmon says the preliminary information will be forwarded to the Personnel Cabinet and Executive Branch Ethics Commission for further investigation and possible disciplinary action.
We'll move on to further statewide news after this quick break.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more is available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
The mayor of Kentucky's second largest city is running for Congress. KNN's Will Clark has more.
Jim Gray has announced he'll seek the Democratic nomination for Kentucky's 6th District Congressional seat. Republican Andy Barr has held it since 2013. Gray will face at least three other people for that nomination, former fighter pilot Amy McGrath, State Senator Reggie Thomas, and Jeff Young, who has run for the seat twice before. Gray is well known in the district, which includes Lexington, and he's run a statewide campaign before, running for Senate in 2016, losing to Rand Paul. I'm Will Clark.
Kentucky's House Minority Leader says he's firmly opposed to a possible plan by Governor Bevin to call for a special session of the legislature this month to deal with plugging the financial holes in the state's retirement system. Democrat Rocky Adkins of Morehead believes, with no firm agreement on pension reform in place, the General Assembly's regular session just weeks away, and the cost of a special session at $65,000 a day to Kentucky's taxpayers, that it's a mistake to rush into a matter that's critical to the future of the Commonwealth and its residents.
Not only those who are public employees, teachers, and retirees, but it's important as well to the people of the Commonwealth of Kentucky. This needs to be done right. It needs to be done in a regular session when we're dealing with the budget, when we can deal with tax reform, along with pension reform.
Adkins also believes that combining pension reform with updating Kentucky's tax system is a better way to go about things, since fixing the latter problem could provide the revenue needed to prop up the state's retirement systems.
State Representative Melinda Prunty, Senator Ralph Alvarado, and Senator Will Schroeder will be giving the Champions for Justice Award at the Ending Sexual Assault and Domestic Violence Conference in Lexington. Deputy Director of the Kentucky Coalition Against Domestic Violence, Mary O'Darkty, says the trio championed legislation this year on behalf of survivors of sexual and domestic violence. House Bill 309 allows victims with long-term protection orders to end a lease with 30 days' notice. O'Doherty says it can help lead to economic self-sufficiency and end the cycle of violence.
She knows that if she leaves that relationship and walks out on that lease, She's put a big black mark on her rental history, on her credit history. So having the ability for survivors to get out of leases when they have long-term orders of protection, it's a real step forward.
The new laws went into effect June 29th, bringing an update to the state's outdated mandatory domestic violence reporting law and extending the statute of limitations for civil cases of sexual abuse.
Two Republican lawmakers in Kentucky have filed a bill that would create a tip line to report legislative wrongdoing. Representatives Ken Fleming of Louisville and Kim Moser of Taylor Mills say the tip line would be run by the Independent Legislative Ethics Commission. The commission has authority to investigate the complaints against lawmakers, employees, lobbyists, or anyone else interacting with the legislature or its workers. Former House Speaker Jeff Hoover resigned his position after acknowledging he settled a sexual harassment claim with a member of his staff. The scandal highlighted the fact that the state does not have a process for handling complaints against lawmakers. The bill says employees who file complaints via the tip line would be protected from reprisal.
While some states are looking at moving away from a gas tax to charging people a yearly fee based on the amount of miles they drive, Round County Judge Executive Walter Blevins doubts that will happen here in Kentucky. Blevins says the idea has gained no traction in the state legislature, adding the tax per miles driven proposal is really aimed only at those who have electric or hybrid vehicles, who pay little, if anything, for the roads they drive on.
I don't think we're looking at maybe changing it as far as the number of miles you're driving. That would be unfair, especially rural areas of the state. And there's still a lot of rural areas in the state, so those counties would really get hit. The citizens would be hurting much worse than what they are.
In order to help boost Kentucky's sagging gas tax revenues that have been hurt by lower prices at the pump, Bevins recommends having a set tax rate per gallon. Kentucky currently bases its gas tax on the wholesale price of fuel.
The Boyd County Board of Education has hired a security officer. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
Meetings hosted by the Boyd County Board of Education will now feature an additional attendee, an off-duty sheriff's deputy. District Resource Officer Tim Wetchler was hired on as the board's security guard on Tuesday. The Daily Independent says that board chairman and deputy Bob Green will fill his position in the instance that Wetchler is not available. This change was sparked by the increasing threat of school shootings in recent years and the need to further protect attendees of the meetings. Green said that this is not a response to any specific threat, but a precautionary measure to stop potential violence from starting. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
American Electric Power is participating in a voluntary industry initiative to help provide investors with more uniform and consistent metrics. The company is incorporating the Edison Electric Institute's pilot environmental, social governance, and sustainability-related reporting template into its long-term program of corporate accountability. AEP Director of External Communications Melissa McHenry says the initiative is an effort to develop a common metric for a variety of issues.
Whether it's how they produce power, their emissions, just the the portfolio of the company, how much coal power generation they have, how much natural gas, how many renewables, and then, number of employees, the type of programs they have. It's really to give a common view as people make decisions about maybe investing in an electric utility company to kind of be able to compare companies.
Over the past 18 months, AEP and other members of the working group helped EEI develop the template for the information that investors are seeking.
Preparation for the Hogwarts Yule Ball is underway at the Rowan County Arts Center. The event will take place at the Arts Center on December 16th. Eventgoers will be able to dress up as their favorite Harry Potter characters and enjoy the many activities featured. Director Ashley Gilliam says the event will help with the Arts Center's community outreach.
We do art classes that are open to the public. We have different types of classes. We also have a Be Free student art program that meets every other Wednesday. It's geared towards elementary age students. And so we're constantly needing money to buy the supplies and pay instructors and things like that.
Tickets for the event are available until December 12th and will cost $15 for adults and $10 for children ages 12 and under. After the 12th or at the door, ticket prices will increase by dollars. For more information regarding the event, you can call 783-9857. We're back here with your weather forecast. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 30 degrees. Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with some sunshine, high of 47. Wednesday night, partly cloudy again with a low of 27. On Thursday, mostly sunny with a high of 39. On Thursday night, partly cloudy once again with a low of 21. And finally on Friday, sunny skies with a high of 36. We're here with the current temperatures now. In Ashland, it's 52 degrees. Winchester, 44 degrees. Inez, 54 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 44 degrees. Lexington is also 44 degrees. And here in Moorhead, it is 46 degrees.
The time is almost 4:46. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Arlo Barnett here with Brian Courtney. Thanks for being with us this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, in a forum to tackle the health literacy crisis, health advocates say many patients miss doses because they misunderstand prescription information. The Kentucky News Connection's Mona Shand files this report.
When it comes to living a healthy life, access to health care is critical, but understanding how to use it is as well, which is why advocates are working to improve health literacy statewide. Michelle Ganote with the Kentuckiana Health Collaborative says when it comes to prescription information, discharge instructions, and appointment scheduling, even the most well-informed consumer still struggles to navigate the complexities of our current healthcare system.
90 million Americans have problems understanding basic healthcare information, yet we're expecting them to engage in an increasingly complex healthcare system. And we also know that poor health is associated with limited health literacy.
The collaborative is holding a community health forum on Tuesday in Louisville in conjunction with Health Literacy of Kentucky to talk about ways to improve health literacy and, as a result, overall health in Kentucky. More information is at khcollaborative.org. Ganote says while the problem is widespread, the people who experience the lowest levels of health literacy tend to be the most vulnerable populations.
Older adults, minorities, people that have less than a high school education or low income levels, and people that have compromised health status. And so we have to think about health equity because these factors really put people at risk for poor health outcomes.
She adds that the problem is also a costly one for both patients and providers. A recent study by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimates that increasing health literacy could save more than $100 billion per year. For Kentucky News Connection, I'm Mona Shand.
It's 4:48. You're still tuned in to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. Stay tuned. Coming up in about 12 minutes at 5 p.m., it's All Things Considered from National Public Radio. Braxton Howard has been keeping an eye on the sports world for us. He's up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Moorhead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream, and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Backing to comments. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Round County boys basketball team has an EKC tournament consolation game at West Carter tonight at 7:30. Both teams were knocked out of the event after quarterfinal round losses. With a number of new players on his roster, Round coach Sean Thacker is still getting a feel for what many of them can do.
Absolutely, especially offensively. You know, what are the where do we need to get kids touches at? You know, and what kind of offense do we need to run? I mean, there'll be stuff that we do that we scratch, and there'll be stuff. You know, we'll always be trying to find better ways to get kids touches in spots that can make them successful.
While Round County is 2-1 this season, West Carter is 1-1. The Moorhead State men's basketball team is hitting the pause button on its schedule, with it being finals week at the university. 2-6 MSU doesn't play again until next Tuesday's home game against Kentucky Christian. After some tough losses recently, sophomore forward Jamin Henson is glad that he and the rest of the young Eagles are getting a chance to, quote, come up for some air.
Yeah, it's going to be a good break. Good to rest our bodies, come together as a team mentally, because our bodies physically and mentally were hard this week. So we come together, talk, get back to the game plan, and hope to pick up a win streak.
Coach Preston Spradlin is giving his Eagles a few days off to focus on their studies before bringing them back to the practice floor. The Morehead State women's basketball team also has the week off for finals. Coach Greg Todd says his players will have a couple of days off from practice this week, but still thinks his team will get better.
The other days, I think sometimes you get some good practices because it almost becomes an outlet at that point for the young ladies that are working very hard in the classroom, and which they all need to be, and we're looking forward to seeing where our girls are with this semester, but we feel like we'll have a good semester.
MSU moved to 6-3 on the year with a 75-55 win over Lipscomb last weekend. They take on Evansville on Sunday. The Morehead State baseball team's 2018 schedule has been released, starting with Eagles opener against UMass Lowell on February the 16th in the Shipyard Classic in South Carolina. Coach Mike McGuire says MSU's docket will be challenging, but he hopes that pays off in the end.
Our schedule is going to match up very well with just about any other mid-major schedule in the country, and it's a schedule that if we have the type of year I think we're capable of and we desire at the end of the year, our RPI should be such that you will look back and say they've played a good schedule and beat a lot of good people.
Outside of their OVC foes, the Eagles next spring will have non-conference games against the likes of Kentucky, Louisville, Tennessee, Kansas, Marshall, Ohio, and Butler. The Cincinnati Reds are preparing for baseball's winter meetings, which start Sunday in Orlando, Florida. Manager Brian Price is confident that the Reds brass will use that event and the rest of the offseason to make the team more competitive in 2018.
There's things that I think that are on the horizon that give me optimism that with the knowing that the club that we have I think is going to be better, but that there's room in the budget to make our ball club better in some of the areas where I think we need it.
Price points at the Reds starting pitching rotation and their bullpen as two key areas where they need talent upgrades. The Kentucky football team is headed to a bowl game for the second straight season. The Cats accepted a bid to the Music City Bowl in Nashville to take on Northwestern on December the 29th. Coach Mark Stoops says his program will probably treat this bowl game a little differently than last year's game, which was the first bowl appearance for the program since 2010.
I think there's a fine line there with the players as well of using it like we needed to a year ago to really just push the program and use it as a basically another spring practice and develop guys, and there's such benefit to that. But there's also, the balance of the morale of the football team and what you're doing with them. And so how hard you practice, how long, how many practices, when you get there, all those things, I think it's always a learning experience.
Kentucky went 7-5 during the regular season, while Northwestern went 9-3. Bengals coach Marvin Lewis is upset with his team's 23-20 loss last night to Pittsburgh at Paul Brown Stadium. Lewis watched Cincinnati's 20-10 lead after three periods evaporate as the Steelers dominated the fourth quarter. Chris Boswell's 38-yard field goal with time expiring was the final nail in the Bengals' coffin.
We got to make plays there and win the football game at the end of the game. Whether it be, drive the football, make another first down, get field position back and so forth, and then be able to make a stop there on defense. And we let them go down the field and score 10 points there in the fourth quarter, and it becomes a difference in the game.
Andy Dalton passed for 234 yards and two touchdowns for the 5-7 Bengals, who entertain Chicago next Sunday. The NFL has suspended Steelers wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster for one game for his hit on Bengals linebacker Vontaze Burfict during the game. The league has also suspended Bengals safety George Iloka for a game for his hit on Pittsburgh wide receiver Antonio Brown. Both players are appealing the suspensions, according to ESPN. Finally, in sports, the International Olympic Committee Tuesday announced the unprecedented step of suspending the Russian Olympic Committee for, quote, systematic manipulation of the anti-doping rules and system, but will permit individual athletes to compete in the upcoming Winter Games if they meet standards determined by the IOC panel. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at MSUEagles.com. Men's basketball hosts Kentucky Christian at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, December 12th, and Central Arkansas at 2 p.m. on Sunday, December 17th. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at MSUEagles.com.
Turning to look at some community events coming up in the region, the Round County Public Library will host their annual holiday open house from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Monday, December 11th. Holiday music by the Moorhead Mountain Strings Dulcimer Club, refreshments and photos with Santa. All ages are welcome. Admission is free.
Donations of new packages of children's underwear, sizes 4 to 16, are being collected through December 31st at the Rowan County Public Library. The goal is to collect 500 pairs of underwear to be distributed to the Rowan County Elementary Schools. Donations may be left Mondays through Thursdays from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., or Sundays 1 to 5 p.m.
Duck the Halls holiday card event will be held at Coffee Tree Books on Main Street in Moorhead from 4 to 6 p.m. Saturday, December 9th. Materials will be provided to create and decorate homemade holiday greeting cards. The event is free and open to everyone.
The Martin County Historical Society presents Joy to the World, an evening of holiday favorites featuring mountain stage pianist Bob Thompson and vocalist Londo Eugene Murphy. Londo Eugene Murphy Jr., star of America's Got Talent. The concert takes place at 7 p.m. on Thursday, December 7th in Button Auditorium at Morehead State University. Tickets are $20 for the general public and $10 for students.
And we already had a story about it, but we'll again remind you to relive the magic of Harry Potter at the Hogwarts Yule Ball, 6:30 p.m. Saturday, December 16th at the Round County Arts Center. Come dressed as your favorite character and enjoy Harry Potter-themed snacks and drinks, play games, and more. Tickets are $15 for adults, $10 for children 12 and under, until December 12th. After the 12th, tickets increase by $3. You can purchase tickets at the Rowan County Arts Center or at Coffee Tree Books.
Bring the family to the Polar Express at the Gateway Regional Arts Center, noon to 4 p.m. on Saturday, December 9th. Sponsored by Traditional Bank, the Polar Express features model trains, arts and crafts, Lego creations, and a gingerbread house competition. Tickets are $3 per person and $15 for families. Get on board the Polar Express at the Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling, noon to 4 p.m. on Saturday, December 9th. More information online at grackentucky.org.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. U.S. equities closed lower as a rebound in tech stocks failed to ignite the broader market. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 109.41 at 24,180.64. The S&P 500 was down 9.87 at 2629.57. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 13.15 at 6762.21. Telecommunications, industrials, and utilities were your lagging sectors today, and the information technology sector was the only sector among S&P 500 sectors that was higher, and the S&P 500 itself was down today, or I should say for the third day in a row, and this is the first three-day losing streak for the S&P since August. In corporate news, Snap shares shot 10.1% higher after Barclays said the social media company could hit a, quote, turning point in 2018. AutoZone shares also ticked 0.4% higher after the company reported better-than-expected quarterly results, and McDonald's stock gained 1.4% to lead the Dow after it was upgraded to a buy from a hold. And this analyst that upgraded his opinion on it said that McDonald's use of data and technology should attract a higher multiple over time, which would lead to higher returns. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the very best performers were McDonald's and Visa today, and the worst performers were Disney and Intel. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Delphi Automotive and Micron Technology, and the worst performers were Edison International and Robert Half International. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down $1.75 at $71.55, CSX down $1.20 at $55.79, AK Steel down 15 cents at $4.81, Marathon Petroleum up $1.26 at $64.56, AEP down $1.12 at $76.27, and Kroger was down 68 cents to finish at $26.20. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
We are back for the second weather forecast on Mountain Edition. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 30 degrees. On Wednesday, partly cloudy once again, with some sunshine in between, with a high of 47. Wednesday night remains partly cloudy with a low of 27. Thursday is mostly